great to be in God's house, amen. Does anybody have a special or testimony they'd like to share? If not, Brother Mike.
Don't be Lord, I'm not trying to cast on the
sea. Good morning again. There. But I did want to read you a verse of this, what we just sung there. Now listen to this. And then one day I'll cross that river and I'll fight life's final war with pain. Here's a beautiful part. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory. Can you imagine what it's going to be like one of these days? I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Wow. The assurance that we'll have when we see the lights of glory. Oh, look forward to that. Welcome to Sandy Point. Those of you who are here and watching, glad to have you along. And let me get me just a little drink of water and we'll get down to business. See a few people fanning. Is it warm in here? I hope you're comfortable with. Has anybody adjusted their air today? If it gets too hot, somebody can see to it, I guess. But I'm okay up here, but Brother Rick's going to check it. Okay. The book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to read the first 11 verses. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The Word of God reads, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strives of words, whereof come envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain," listen to this, "supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, and godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness." Verse number 6. "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Be happy where you are. Until you can do better, be happy where you are. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day, for your blessings, for the Word of God. And I pray that you'd help us to present the Word of God with clarity today, dear Lord, and help us to learn to be content at the station of life we're in until you see fit for us to do better. Help us, dear Lord, that we would not get caught up in the lust of this world and seeking the pleasures to satisfy the thirst of the flesh, which cannot be satisfied. I pray, Lord, that we would already know and rediscover that if we're saved, we need to be content with life. And Lord, if we are unsaved, we don't know contentment. I pray today, the Holy Spirit, search our hearts. Bless those who are here and those who are watching, and pray that we could all leave today knowing that we are saved and we have something to be content about. In Jesus' name, amen. Be happy where you are. It is a culture that we live in that is most restless. Most restless. Now, there's a lot of things that contribute to that. First of all, there are more people than there ever have been on the face of this earth. Restless people who are searching, who are looking for something or somebody, something that will satisfy the thirst of the inward soul. It is the flesh trying to help the soul, but it can't, really. The two are contrary. The inner soul of a man wants to find some peace and some place where we can be, what, content with things at this station in my life. But the flesh comes along and says, I want to help you, but the motives are quite different. What are we searching for, you know? We can't be happy anymore. It is because we have become to trust in the things. We have more things. You know, studies teach us that people are unhappy today. They really are. That they don't have peace of mind and their souls are not at peace, that they are searching for contentment, and contentment has been devalued in our society today. We do not value godliness with contentment. And what contentment is out there, people try to seek and leave off the godliness part. And we really can't achieve and find real contentment without the godliness in there with us. It must be a connection. Daniel the prophet really foretells what's going on in our world today. Most people will agree that it sure looks to be certain that we are in the last days. But Daniel said in his prophecy, among other things, this would be some of the characteristics. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased. Now, I don't know about the knowledge being increased. They're saying it is, but I do know that many are running to and fro. We have the means to run to and fro. We have the means to seek out pleasures and things that we think will bring us happiness at an unparalleled level that's ever been in the world. You ever just wonder, where is everybody going? What is everybody doing? Now, if you work in public work, anything to do with manufacturing, you know for a fact that since COVID 2020, they can't produce enough goods.
can't produce enough goods. I don't care what it is. There's a demand for it. People will buy it and just can't make enough of it. Have you noticed that there's so many of these rental storage buildings? Every town you go into is full. They're building them. I'm told by people who know that as soon as you build them, they're full of stuff. You know, we have more stuff than we keep at home, and we're having to rent storage buildings to keep the stuff. And, you know, that's a commentary upon our lives, that, you know, we're searching, we're buying, we're trying to get this and that. Somewhere trying to find some peace, contentment, some happiness. But the world is looking in the wrong places. We are restless. Daniel says, they'll be running. Many are running to and fro. We are restless and not very content. People are really not happy today. The Word of God here says, you know, Paul writing here to Timothy, you know, remember these values, and that is that godliness and contentment is a great gain. People don't place much values in that anymore, and they are those who are supposing that gain is godliness, you know, prosperity and all these things. But Paul says, from such turn away. Now, God wants to bless you, but He also wants us, and we'll get into this in a minute, this is a learned discipline. To be a Christian is not always easy. There is some learning. There is some struggling. There is some suffering. You know, we're not called to prosper and just to live a life of glory here. There is some suffering. Take up your cross and follow me. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. All of those who are going to live a godly life must learn something of discipline. These things don't just come naturally. You know, the flesh resist these things, and we need to try to resist getting caught up into the world that's running to and fro, looking to satisfy and to find some peace of mind. And God's people, we know better. We know better. We have been taught better. Sometimes we get sucked into the world and going down to that road and it leads to despair. Being content is something that people have forgotten about this day and time. Our forefathers learned to be content with the stage of life that they had. You know, contentment. It is John the Baptist, when he comes on the scene, that he places value in people being content. In Luke chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, John is now preaching, and different groups of people come up to John, and they are interested. You know, there was a movement of the Spirit of God when John the Baptist come along preaching the baptism of repentance, and people were drawn to him. And there was a moving of God there, and people were for a moment in time willing to follow him. And he piqued the interest of people. And verse 10 here it says, "And when the people asked him, saying, 'What shall we do then?'" What do we, and his mission is to what? Get the people ready for the coming of Christ. That's what we need to be telling people today. As the coming of Christ is approaching, we need to focus upon being ready for His arrival. Now, John is charged with a mission to get the people in some kind of shape to for the coming of the Messiah. You know, get ready, the Messiah is coming. Our job is to get people ready for the coming of Jesus. What shall we do then? And he answered and said to them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. And there came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. And soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do no violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. And all, as the people were in expectation, in suspense, who is this guy? And all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not. They're in expectation and they're wondering, you know, is this the Christ? But to the soldiers, he said, one of the things here, you know, treat people right is basically what he's saying. And he said, be content with your wages. Be satisfied. Appreciate what you got. Appreciate your station in life. And in the breakdown, I'm afraid, today is, and God wants us to do better. He does. God wants you to prosper and to do better. But he also wants us to be appreciative of where we're at today. Some people cannot be happy with today because of things they do not have and where they want to be, and they miss the blessings of the present. We are not promised another day. You rob yourself of the blessings of life and the goodness of God by focusing too much upon what I want to get to, what my desired position in life is, what I want, what I think will help me to be happy. And we are neglecting to be happy now. This is all we have. Now, we, you know, this is the day the Lord's made. We will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. And our culture today teaches us not so much as to rejoice in today, but we want something else. Always wanting something else. A longing of the soul, a lust and a thirst of the flesh which cannot be satisfied. Always reaching and looking for something else, thinking that prosperity is godliness, forgetting about that godliness comes first and then contentment. The two are connected. So if we're caught in a stage of life and we are not content, we might well do a good look at the godliness part. Are we meeting the requirements that qualifies to say I'm doing okay in the godliness? Are we? Have we left off of that, and are we listening to the desires of the flesh and thinking that that will bring us some contentment? Don't place your contentment and your peace upon things. You know, our relationship with, listen, and I'm going to share this in closing, but if we are saved, that'll be good enough for today. I'm saved, and that's good enough to get me through today. Am I saying that we shouldn't strive to try to do better, and God wants you to do better, but he also wants you to appreciate today. The children of Israel are our examples. They couldn't wait for the manna that come day by day. They would try to go out there and get enough to do more and more, and it wouldn't work. And God's lesson to them was, you just get enough one day at a time, be content with that, but they weren't. human nature is that we are not content with today's blessings. The lesson in the wanderings to Israel was to teach them to trust God one day. And say, what's going to happen next week? Don't worry too much about that. Let's worry about today. Be thankful for the blessings of this day. Tomorrow is not promised. Miserable today because worrying about what we want or what we're trying to get next week, what we think we have to have today, other than to be thankful and to learn contentment with today. The world places little value on contentment. Contentment. In Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verses 10, I'm going to go ahead and read through 13. St. Paul says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content. That's a discipline. And that is a grace. And that, you know, that takes work. Paul said that didn't come natural to me. I had to learn it. And we have to learn that. As God's people today, that doesn't come natural from the flesh. Minding the flesh will not get you there. That is a discipline. We have to take our focus off of this world and the running to and fro and to concentrate upon the now. And Paul says, I had to learn this lesson the hard way. Paul went through some hardships in life, you know. He knew what it was to abound and to be abased. He knew what it was like to be beaten, to be locked up. He knew what it's like to be hungry, to be shipwrecked, you know, to be cold and destitute and all of these things. But he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I can be at peace. I can sing praises unto God when I'm jailed in the stocks in the jail at Philippi. I have learned to be content at the station of life that I am, hoping to get out of this jail one of these days, and he did. But for now, I'm going to praise God here. I'm going to be content that where I am right now, I can be happy. The problem with not being happy now and looking for something else is, you know, you spend your whole life unhappy. Unhappy. The secret is to learn to be happy every day. To learn that this is the day the Lord has made and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Despite my problems, despite all the things, I'm going to learn today to praise God. I'm going to learn to look at the little things. I'm going to think about the things that I have instead of the things that I want, that I do not have. There are people in this world who would kill for your life. People in third world countries, they're doing everything to come to this land, you know. And yet, we're not happy with our lives. God has blessed America, but America is ungrateful. We're not content. We're seeking more and more. And God is saying, you need to learn to be happy where you're at. Paul said, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. It's not all good. I don't get everything I want in the flesh. I've learned to be content in my need. I know how to abound. I know where and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. He says, you know what? I can do it. And you can too if you're saved. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Through Christ, we can learn to have some contentment and some peace. Why rob yourself of the blessings of this day, worrying about or wanting something else that we think we can't be happy until we get it? And then we get that thing or whatever it is. The new wears off of it. We throw it aside. And we want something else. It is a thirst that cannot be quenched. We must learn this discipline. Paul said, I have learned it. It didn't come easy. The lessons in life sometimes are difficult. These disciplines don't always come easy. We say, well, I have some good friends that are very sick today. We have a sick list. We pray for these people. I have a long list. I have some people that I pray for that I know that are on their way out of this life. I pray for grace and for their comfort. And I pray for God, I say, for your great grace and mercy and your comfort. We're not all going to get well. We're not going to live forever here. There are going to be things. And so you might say, well, you don't understand what I'm facing. How can I be happy with my life situation? Well, Paul said, I've learned to be content with whatever life gives me. Paul had some issues too. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. He had physical ailments. Some say it was his eyesight after the light that he saw on the road to Damascus, that he had poor eyesight. I don't know. He said a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart me. He said, I prayed to God to relieve me of this affliction 3 times. Paul felt like he needed to be healed of this, whatever it was, that it was hindering him in his work from the Lord, but it wasn't God's will. Prayed 3 times, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. Now listen to this. He said, well, preacher, you don't know about my station in life. And then I know some of us dealing with a lot of things out there. A lot on your plates. The Lord said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen, if I am saved, that's the main thing. That is the main thing. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in mine infirmities. I will learn to be happy at my present state. Even though I haven't gotten everything, Paul could heal people. He could lay hands on, he could pray for people. And the Bible said people brought handkerchiefs and aprons and stuff to him and Peter, and you know, that he would bless, and people could be healed. The Bible says that people wanted to just get close to Peter so his shadow would cast upon him as he walked down the street or walked by them. These apostles had the power of God to heal and to make the lame walk and to do all these things. And Paul said, but for some reason, I can't get God to heal me. Do you think it would have bothered Paul? He said, God, you've given me this ability to heal, the gift of healing, and I've healed many people, yet myself I can't seem to help. We would struggle with that, wouldn't we? I don't understand that. I don't know, what do you got against me, God? But Paul said, I prayed about it three times. And then God's answer to me was, my grace is sufficient for you. And he said, I will therefore glory in mine infirmity. I will, despite this thorn in the flesh, I will be happy with my life condition. I'll be happy if I'm in jail. I'll be happy even if they stone me. I'll be happy to go to Rome. I'll be happy to stand before Caesar. He stood before the governor. He said, I'll be happy to answer for myself. Be happy. He had learned. These things don't come automatic, you know. We have to spend some time with the Lord. We have to know a little bit about this godliness part of this thing. So Paul says, I will most gladly, therefore, glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have learned to be content in my present state. I wish I could say that. I'm trying. It's all we can do is to live one day at a time and try to learn to be content, not get caught up with the world. The book of Hebrews tells us over here, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the writer of Hebrews says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be you content, or without covetousness, wanting, you know, and be ye content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content. Our forefathers learned to be content. Life was hard. They learned to be content with the things that they have. And because all these things are available at our means, we had all the search engines to look for and to find something to make us feel better about ourselves, to bring us some happiness. This will make you happy. Oh, it's coming at us from everywhere. And the ad people are doing a good job because it's selling. So much that manufacturers can't build enough here, and we can't order enough stuff from overseas, can't unload ships fast enough, because we're buying everything under the sun. Driven by this unquenchable thirst and search to find some peace and happiness, it is the soul that is crying out for peace and happiness. And the flesh says, I'll help you find that. But the two don't gee and haw. They don't cotton to each other. The soul and the spiritual side of man doesn't cotton after. You know what that means? You don't hear that very often anymore. It means they don't mix. They don't go along with each other. Old people used to say, I don't cotton to that idea. It means I don't go along with it. It don't mesh. The cotton fabric don't mesh with something else. The soul and the flesh don't cotton. Oh, the flesh says, I can help you. Your inner soul is seeking to be content. When you have all you need, if you're saved, you have all you need to be content if you are saved. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember that. The world doesn't know that. And we're forgetting it, I'm afraid, sometimes as God's people. We need to learn to be happy where we are. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That means it's something to value. This world's value system is not like ours. You know, we're not to cotton after the world's value system. Sometimes we get sucked into it. But on the other hand, my friend, if you are not saved, you can't be content where you are. If we're saved, we absolutely can learn to be content, even in affliction, even in hardship. Paul said, I've done it. He said, what? I've learned. It wasn't easy, but we can do it. How? Through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm going to enjoy this day. This is the day the Lord has made. I don't know about tomorrow, what's coming. But today, I'm going to be happy. I'm not going to allow Satan to take my joy. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when we're not content, when we don't have godliness and contentment and value that as great gain, we can't really be happy. We, you know, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. If we don't have the joy of the Lord, we don't have Jesus. If you are not saved, on the other hand, you can't be, you can't find contentment. And you don't need to be content with that. That's a false sense of contentment. There's a world of people who are lost and would tell you that they're content in life. They're content with their lot in life, but that's a misguided passion. That's a false sense of contentment. You cannot be content if you are not saved. You can't find peace and contentment apart from the godliness. Man seeks to find this contentment and they're selling that, but they want to leave off the godliness part. It won't work. It won't work. The flesh is crying to help. That's why people are running to and fro. That's why Daniel could say that thousands of years ago. People are running to and fro in the end times. The flesh is saying to the soul, oh, I can help here. I can help you find contentment and peace. But it's the wrong kind of help. Trying to find a place where happiness is when we need to learn to be happy where we are. Learn to be happy where you are. If you've not been saved and this godliness and contentment has evaded you, Jesus says to you today, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The flesh says, I will find you a place of rest. You know, another trip, another new car, another new something else. Try this, try that. I will take you to where you can find a place of peace. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this is real rest. This is the kind of rest where we can say that we know what godliness and contentment is. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Your flesh has carried you on an endless journey, running to and fro, and left you void of that rest, has left you void of that peace and contentment that you, everybody really wants to settle in and have some peace. You know, we're just going about it the wrong way. And America has told us, and our culture has define what peace and contentment is, and they're telling us, hey, you really can't be at peace in where you're at. Well, I beg the pardon. The Bible says we can. St. Paul said, I learned to be content wherever I was, and we can too. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Now, we try all this other stuff. We got high hopes sometimes, but we're always disappointed, aren't we? And then we'll try something else, and it is doomed to fail too. But Jesus says, if you'll try me, you shall find rest unto your souls. You shall find rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus Christ will help you find a place to be content. He'll help you if you're already saved and help you to rediscover how to be happy with your life. Jesus does not want you to be miserable in life. He will supply the grace that's needed, no matter what you have to face, but you can find some peace and happiness and contentment in this life. Do not spend your life miserable. That is an outright shame, especially for a child of God. And for those that are lost, you do not have to spend another day being miserable, searching to satisfy the unquenchable thirst of the flesh. Jesus says to you, stop running to and fro. Stop searching for a place to be happy, for you can find it in me. Brother Danny, if you'll come with a song this morning, we're going to close out. If you're here today, or if you're watching, you're searching, you know you want to be happy. Well, you're going to have to learn to be happy where you are for now. God wants you to do better, but we must learn to be happy where we are until we can do better. And then we'll be happy there. But don't let the desire to do better to rob you of today's happiness and peace. And if you're not saved, you don't know happiness until you come to Jesus. We can learn the discipline of being content. How do I get through my struggles? Through Christ who strengthens me. Let's stand together this morning.